add to that just what a blessing music has been this evening. Whether it is something or we just listen to it, what a blessing this evening. And I mentioned that this morning, the words of these great old hymns, how meaningful they are to us. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts this evening. Thank you, Father. As we are gathered here, as our service continues, we have been blessed. And it's our desire that you have been blessed as music, instruments, and voices have been raised heavenward. We trust, Lord, that you have been pleased. We turn to your word now, and I pray that our hearts would be quiet and that you would be our teacher, our instructor. Guide and lead me in what I say or don't say. May this time be well spent, these moments that yet remain, as we consider your word. In your name I pray. Amen. I know some time ago, on a Sunday evening, you know that it's my practice to read the proverb of the day, whatever the day is. Today would have been Proverb 18 if I was in my office. And then I start with the Psalm 18 and then add 30 to it, 18, 48, 78, 108, and 138, what I would have read today. And I know a year ago or more, time goes fast when you're having fun, I had a Sunday night or two where we just took a look at some of the things in common in those five psalms that I would read on a given day, that were 30 psalms apart. I'm not doing that this evening, but I want us to consider four psalms this evening. They're not divided by any distance. It's actually four psalms in succession. And I trust that as we look at this, your heart will be blessed. Andrew, here we go. The one to trust has to do with the matter of trusting God. The one to trust. Let's start with Psalm 88. And in this 88th psalm, when should I be trusting God? Well, Psalm 88 answers for us. It's important that we trust God when we are in trouble. When we are in trouble. Notice in the first 9 verses of this, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles. And he said, actually, it seems to him, my life draws nigh unto the grave. He said, it almost seems like this might be it. This might result in the end of my life. He says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. He says in verse 6, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. And You have afflicted me with all thy ways. See, stop and think about that. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. In those 9 verses, good times, bad times for the psalmist. Huh? Bad. He was in the pits. He thought it was so bad that he wasn't going to make it through this. He thought he might die. What was it that he was going through? We don't know. Is life always a bowl of cherries for you? Are you always on the top of the heap, so to speak? Do you find yourself sometimes in the pits? And things, it seems like anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Anything that could go against you has gone against you. Where do you turn? Where do you turn in a time like that? And in those 9 verses, I didn't count it, but numerous times we find that the psalmist makes reference that he has been trusting in the Lord. Even that first verse. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before you. He hadn't turned away from the Lord. He hadn't concluded that this is a waste of time. He said in verse 9, my eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. When you find yourself in the midst of trouble, ask yourself, do you keep on talking to the Lord about it? Or would you say, well, I hate to admit it, Pastor, but you know, sometimes I just get so discouraged. I don't even think the Lord. That's exactly what Satan wants us to conclude. We wanted to glean something from this psalm. I think it would be the more difficult the times, the more reason for us to draw close to the Lord and call upon Him. Yes or no? The more difficult the times, human nature would suggest, what's the use? But the truth is, the more difficult the times, all the more reason for us to just keep looking unto Jesus, as He is referred to in the New Testament, the not only author, but what? Finisher of our faith. He's conquered everything. He knows how to help us. And so we see here, in the midst of all the trouble, we find that we see him looking to the Lord. Let's move on. In verses 13 through 18. It says here, we've skipped some things, but it we see we once again pick up with the psalmist, and he says in verse 13, that unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee, or come to you. Lord, verse 14, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like waters. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. We find, in spite of what he is experiencing, yet he is still trusting. He doesn't have an answer. We find him saying, why, Lord? Why, verse 14, have you cast me off? Why is this happening to me like this? You say, well, we probably shouldn't ask the Lord why. I guess my thought is, why not? He knows us. He has created us. He has put in us our feelings. Asking him why, as long as you are still trusting him, there is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Lord, I don't understand it. This is a big mystery to me, but in the midst of all of the unknowns that I bring to you, I'm still looking to you. I'm still trusting. And so, humanly speaking, we might look at this and we might say, boy, in the midst of all of this, maybe you shouldn't trust. Maybe you would be better off on your own, because you've taken this whole psalm and you have described the trouble you're in, the times that you have just prayed about it. God hasn't done anything about it. You're confused. You find yourself all alone. Your acquaintances, your friends, they've forsaken you. Job's friends would have said what? Just give up. Job's wife especially would have said what? Curse God and die. Why should we trust God in times that we might find ourselves in a situation that we might say kind of relates to this 88th Psalm? Why should we trust God? That's why we turn to the next psalm in Psalm 89, and we answer in Psalm 89, we should trust him when in trouble, because he keeps his word to his own. He keeps his word, his own. They are special to God. And in Psalm 89, look at verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Now, look at verses 3 and 4. And the psalmist is now here remembering some things that God has said. And God has said, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah, stop and think about that. God has promised, he has given his word that he will bless his home. And in this instance, He's referring to David and David's descendants. Look at verse 20. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Look at verse 24. And I will beat down his foes before his face and pluck them that beat him. What are we learning here? We are learning that we should trust God because God keeps his word. And we started out by seeing the Lord say, I've made some commitments, promises to David. And now he's giving example how he's keeping that word. Verse 28, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my commandments and keep not my commandments, I'll break off all of my promises to them, right? Then will I visit their transgression with the rod, yes, and their iniquity with stripes. They will be judged, chastened, if they turn against me, but we go on. Verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer or allow my faithfulness to fail. Why should I trust God? Because he keeps his word, and his faithfulness, verse 33, will never fail. Those are some pretty good thoughts to take to heart, aren't they? We read on. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. As we think about David and the promises that were made to him, and we think specifically of the Jews, and we think of the future that's in store for them, but let's relate it to us, the body of Christ, the church. God has made specific promises to you and me as well. One of them is, we realize in Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote of it in that tremendous passage where he said, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge or bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, me rather, is raised again. Who is he raised again? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or troubled times when we don't understand why God is bringing this our way? Keep trusting, because it says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know why we can believe that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ told us one day, told his followers, and I give unto them eternal life. And then you know what he said? And they shall never perish. I just happen to believe that. And it doesn't matter what circumstances we find ourselves in as a believer, God has not failed us. We saw in Psalm 88, sometimes we're in it so deep, we think we're not even going to survive it. But keep trusting. That's what the psalmist did. He kept praying in Psalm 88. Why did he keep praying? Because he had learned in Psalm 89 that God keeps his word to his own. Why should we trust God? We move to Psalm 90. Why shouldn't we trust something else? Why should we trust God? Because the answer in Psalm 90 is because God is eternal. God is here to stay. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Thou turnest men to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of man. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it gets cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. You have set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. We look at this particular psalm and we see another link in the chain as to why should I trust God? We saw in Psalm 88. We can be in pits and we can be looking to the Lord, we can be trusting Him, and He might not even be answering us. But the challenge is keep trusting. Keep trusting, because we learn in Psalm 89 that He keeps His word to His own, and He keeps His word to His own because in Psalm 90 we learn because He is eternal. God's not going anywhere. There's never going to be a time when somebody is going to be looking to Him and saying, well, you know, I'm turning to you, God, now with my life. There's never going to be a message come be sent back to us, no longer applicable, no longer in existence, no longer able to address your needs. But we learn Psalm 90, that glorious truth, we can trust Him because He's here to stay. He is eternal. Doesn't that bless your soul? Well, we have one more we want to look at. And the next one in line is Psalm 91. You say, well, each psalm presents its own theme. That's right. But do you ever just sit down and do you read a number of them together? Look at what we're learning as you take four verses. and just read them in succession and look at how the one can tie in and relate to the other. Well, why should I trust God? Psalm 91. Because of his power. Because of his power. Who he is. I will say of the Lord, verse 2, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. He will protect thee. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. It doesn't matter what form, when it comes, whether it comes in the darkness or in the light. It says you don't need to be afraid, verse 6, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come to you. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. You have personally trusted the Lord. The psalmist is speaking, but he says, I know this is going to be true for you as well, because verse 9, you have made the Lord, who's my refuge, you've made him your refuge as well. You've trusted him. You've turned to him. You have experienced for yourself what it is to know the Lord and to belong to him and to have him caring and providing for you. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. These next two verses we know are prophetically a reference in relation to the Lord Jesus. The psalmist was relating them, but we know this are verses that the Lord Jesus used in refuting Satan's temptation when he was there on the mountain. And he said, when Satan said to him, you know, if you're really God, you ought to just fling yourself down to the ground, because, and Satan actually misquoted this verse, you compare it. And that's what Satan likes to do. He likes to get a little bit of the truth, but he likes to twist it a little bit. And you compare. Satan did not quote this passage word for word. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Why should I trust God? I don't understand what's happening. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Why? Because we saw in Psalm 89, because you can count on him to keep his word to you. And he keeps his word because he is eternal. He'll never wear out. He'll always be there. And I don't know if he can or not. This may be too big. Nothing is beyond his power. Well, we've taken a quick look at four Psalms. And I trust that maybe your heart has been encouraged as you lump them together and see, boy, you know, it really does pay to trust the Lord. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Now, Father, I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. We thank you for the truth concerning yourself. We thank you for these psalms that have been placed together in succession And we thank you as we compare one with the other. And how does this relate to what we've looked at? What an encouraging message we have seen this evening from the truth of your word. May we grow in our faith, in our trust of you. And we pray that you would take us safely to our homes. We thank you in your name.